Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, how about that? I didn't know you were going to play that. Well, Perry Woods there on the Dave Glover Show.
It's in my Tony Colombo bumper music folder.
I love it. 97.1 FM Talk, Tony Colombo in for Dave Glover today. Once again, just a quick reminder, Dave just took the day off so he can have a little extended Memorial Day weekend, a well-deserved break. We are going to bring you a best of the DGS on Monday, and then we will all be back here live in studio on Tuesday after the holiday. And on Monday, it's still going to be a whole lot of fun to listen to the show. We're going to replay Dave Murray's summer forecast, and we're going to replay a bunch of the games that we've played here recently. So it's going to be a fun show on Monday for you to listen to as well. Right now, wanted to bring on the line, as I mentioned in that last segment, our friend Pastor John Michael Brown is joining us. Earlier today, the president was speaking at the daily press briefing, and then afterwards, the press continued to grill Kayleigh McEnany about what the president said, and basically one of the big topics of the press conference today was churches around the country reopening. We've talked a lot about this past week was phase one reopening for St. Louis City and St. Louis County, and the state of Missouri started the reopening process a few weeks ago, and something that is being dealt with across the country, obviously. You know, how do we get things back to normal life? And many churches, if not all, well, sure, not all, but many churches across the country have been closed throughout this process and now are dealing with how do we bring people back into these buildings but keep everybody safe. And that's what I wanted to have Pastor Brown on to talk about today. John Michael, great to talk with you, sir. How's it going?
It's great, brother. How about yourself?
I can't complain. I hope you are able to enjoy your holiday weekend. I hope you have some fun scheduled this weekend. And then I think next week, you and many other churches around the area are going to, our church and many other churches are going to start trying to have in-person services again. Can you just talk about some of the issues that you guys are dealing with as you try to figure out how to bring people back into the church?
Yeah, most definitely. We our big issue is just really our the concern for actual health. Mm-hmm. We are not a group of believers, at least not as a whole, as a leadership, that just takes this idea, oh well, let's come to worship and if anyone gets coronavirus, God will automatically deliver us. I mean, we don't hold that position. I believe that God can deliver me from coronavirus, but he also can deliver me into his presence, you know, through death by coronavirus. So I don't think God is up in heaven putting all his eggs in the basket of whether or not Christians die by coronavirus. So we just want to be considerate of our members relative to health. You know, you have the at-risk individuals and just the circumstance of putting people in a closed room where people are hopefully singing. You know, part of my responsibility is to lead the song service. So mm-hmm. I want people to sing, and so that's a lot of breath in the air. So that's a lot of opportunity for people to contract it. But I think on the other end, it's the being respectful of not just government's expectation, but different individuals, how they feel about the congregation respecting social distancing and these things. We've, you know, in Missouri, we've basically been exempt, I think, from a lot of the rules. If we wanted to meet in person, we could have, but we want to respect those the ruling authorities, but more so, we want our people to be safe. So we're not.
John Michael, what's the feedback you've gotten from the church community? Do they want to come back? Were they upset when services were canceled and church was closed? I know you've been doing online services, which is what a lot of churches around the country have been doing. Mm-hmm. But it, by and large, do people want to come back, or are they still afraid to do so?
Yeah, I think we just were having a discussion. The leadership meets every Sunday through Zoom, and that's been a discussion. And we were last Sunday, we're talking about how people were responding, and there was no definite position. I mean, we had people that were not coming. We're not coming until, for several more months. We have some health professionals in the congregation, and we have others that are like, yeah, I'm there as soon as you open it. Hmm. There were people that challenged the leadership's faith because we were not going to have the only way we can honor God is if we have it in person. And I find that often ironic because, some people, it seems like that, were demanding that we meet in person. I haven't noticed them on our feeds online and stuff. So I'm like, well, you have an opportunity to worship, you hypocrite. but that was the thing. It was just kind of a spectrum. I mean, different people emphasize different things. And I, from the beginning, I believe that, I'm all for whatever, I'm all in. We can meet, but I told them from the beginning, I said, I'm okay if we meet together, someone gets coronavirus and dies. I don't feel responsible for that because I think, God is bigger than coronavirus. And if you chose to come here, I mean, you got coronavirus. If he chose not to heal you, so be it. But you didn't have to come. It wasn't like I put a gun to your head and made you be here, but I think that we made the more...
Well, and you can take precautions everywhere, and, there's only so much all of us can do, some people catch it and some people don't, and there's certain things you can do. Of course, there's precautions that you can take to limit your chances of getting it, but, I don't know that it necessarily falls... The responsibility... doesn't fall on every building, as far as if you catch it in that mm-hmm. building or not. It's a very difficult thing to unpack and kind of get through.
Yeah.
And what about things like, social distancing within the church? It's easy, before and after the service to tell people, we're not going to mm-hmm. congregate and we don't want you, packing into the lobby and shaking hands and catching up the things that you would see on a typical Sunday. But there's only so much room in the auditorium and there's only so much room in the church. And mm-hmm. you're going to you go with your family and people sit close to each other and. How do you what kind of things what discussions are you having there, and how do you try to keep everybody safe in that environment?
That brings up two dynamics that I would think you might find interesting. One is the dynamic of all the regulations that you'd have to put in place, the expectations to keep people safe. If you want to listen to health officials, listen to science, and say, let's be smart about this. God gave us brains to think and gave us the ability to discover science. So the idea, let's have service outside we need to make people do this or tell people to do that. And so that dynamic that becomes problematic is people want to come back together, but people don't want to come back together in such a way that it's such a harassment to be together. They would rather be in the comfort of their own home watching online. If you're going to put, you can't get this. And then, you know, so we need the air circulation, and we've talked about doing it in the gym and getting the fans going and stuff. So but we've also said, well, are we going to tell people you can't go in the bathroom? Because then we'd have to clean it. And, you know, so it's a very interesting dynamic that you don't want to come back and have a situation that, well, we're back here together, but it doesn't feel like authentic worship. Now, the other interesting thing about that, the other dynamic that's come about, one of our leaders is familiar with a church that's been meeting for several weeks, and they put in a bunch of expectations that everyone was supposed to follow, and half of the people weren't following it. So their church split. Those people that wanted the regulations and the safety precautions to be followed, they left because these other people were being totally disrespectful and disregarding social distancing. They were hugging, you know, they were, you know, not wearing masks. And so you have this dynamic of churches are going to have the problem of can you respect everybody and not create additional problems, because I think safety precautions are real and people care about those. And then on the flip side, other people think, oh, we can give holy kisses and we'll be safe from corona. You know, and that's just not the case. There's nothing biblical that promises you, you know, coronavirus doesn't appear in the Bible.
Right.
That word doesn't appear. And I think if you're stupid, you can get a disease and die, and God will welcome you into his presence and say, well, you messed that one up, but I guess you can spend the rest of your eternity up here with me.
Got a couple minutes left with Pastor John Michael Brown. Go ahead, Rach.
I don't even really have a question for you, John. I just wanted to say it's so nice to talk to you about this, because in the media lately, you just see story after story of like, look at these dumb Christians. They're all coughing in each other's face and they think it's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to hear a very reasonable person. And I would like to think that you are actually in the vast majority. There are just some people that are going to be stubborn, but it's kind of disheartening to see the kind of media coverage. So I guess I do have a question. Mm-hmm. Do you see that? And does that bother you in any way? Or are you just kind of used to getting that kind of treatment in mainstream media?
Yeah, I'm used to people. You know, it's just there's dumb people out there, and it doesn't matter if you're a dumb non-believer, a dumb believer, a dumb anti-believer. They just falsely approach things. I believe in logic and reason, and you think through this. You know, when the bishop said that God is bigger than the coronavirus, he wasn't saying God is going to save everybody from getting sick. He just says that there's something out there that's bigger than the coronavirus. And so what happens is people like to misrepresent the other side. And the media has been doing that in politics and religion and in race issues. It's always about misrepresenting the other side. And I think what happens is a misrepresentation. And many believers misrepresent God to say that God is going to keep us from dying from the coronavirus. You know, I mean, you can make a biblical argument that pandemics are a part of the end times judgment of God on the earth. You know, you can make that case. I'm not going to make that case, but my mind is open to I don't know.
Right.
And so it's just a matter of being fair. And I think people are not fair with the believers. And some people are just flat out ignorant.
Yeah, it's a great point, though, that the Christian, you know, community and religious community in general just gets painted into this picture of that all Christians believe that we can go to church because once we walk in the church, God has us protected. But this conversation is proof. And as Rach said, I think this is the vast majority of religious people across the country that churches completely understand and are taking precautions just like every other business, just like every other building, just like every other house, to keep their people safe. And they know the importance of doing so. But you can do all of that and still believe, as you just mentioned, that there's something mm-hmm. bigger than coronavirus. And it's, you know, it's going to be God's will, you know, no matter what, but you can still take these precautions. And it, you know, it's a refreshing conversation to have. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time, but, like I said, Pastor John Michael Brown, thank you so much for your time. And I hope
pleasure.
You are able to enjoy a long Memorial Day weekend.
Will do.
All right. Thanks a lot. Got to take a quick break. Got more Dave Glover Show coming up next on 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.